books written by King Charles III, available in the RNIB Talking Books Library. Harmony, a new way of looking at our world. Long before the phrase climate change was a universal catchphrase, His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales was studying the impact of industrialisation on the environment. In this cross-disciplinary work, the then Prince of Wales called upon his years of research and explored the way in which mankind must work to restore the delicate balance with nature that we've lost in the centuries since the Industrial Revolution began.
Before we begin our journey, there are a number of key words and terms that I will use throughout that I feel I should explain. One of these terms is mechanistic thinking. This stems from what happened in Western thought from the 17th century onwards, after the great pioneers of empirical discovery like Descartes and Francis Bacon laid down the principles of the scientific revolution. Nature began to be understood in the more clinical terms of its mechanics, as we shall see. This is because, in the main, our science has been based on a reductionist approach. Organisms are broken down and their separate parts are studied in mechanical terms. Hence, in schools today, children are generally taught to see the human heart as nothing more than a pump, the lungs as a set of bellows, and the brain as some sort of very clever computer, with the human mind conveniently explained away as the product of an electromagnetic effect of brain function. Despite the incredible leaps that quantum mechanics and particle physics and the lessons on the interconnectivity of matter they so readily offer us, it still appears odd that many people seem not to have a knowledge of these things. Is this perhaps why things start to get a bit fuzzy in the schoolroom when it comes to defining consciousness in mechanistic terms, or, for that matter, the imagination? Quite where the resonance we feel for the beauty of things, or ultimately love, comes from is anybody's guess.
Harmony, a new way of looking at our world, was narrated by the then HRH, the Prince of Wales, and runs for 11 hours and 21 minutes. Our second book, written by King Charles III, A Vision of Britain, Personal View of Architecture. The book that accompanied the then Prince Charles's first television documentary. He stresses the need to preserve our towns and cities, the need to review the planning laws, and the importance of providing what people want on a human scale.
We must respect the land. It is our birthright, and almost every inch of it is densely layered with our island history. The landscape is the setting for all our architecture. In the United Kingdom, we are blessed with an enormous variety of landscape. Such richness, from the hills of Derbyshire and the Yorkshire Dales to the level fens of Lincolnshire, is greatly to be treasured. Often the type of land is gentle and subtle, and correspondingly delicate and easily damaged. Much has been damaged. The last war didn't help in this respect. But it can be restored if people are prepared to take the time and trouble. New buildings can be intrusive, or they can be designed and sited so that they fit in. It is seldom enough to disguise them by planting. The scale and nature of the new buildings are crucial. Rather than planning from a drawing board or plotting road routes on a map, we should feel the lie of the land and its contours, and respect them as a result. New buildings shouldn't dominate the landscape, but blend carefully with it. Often large buildings can be separated into elements which will humanize the scale, give a gentler skyline, and enhance the picturesque quality of our landscape. We must protect the land. We need, for all sorts of complex historical and psychological reasons, to keep a sense of wilderness. The green belts are a valuable contribution to the preservation, even if sometimes this is an illusion, of the countryside. If new buildings avoid sprawl and are grouped together, more of the landscape can be preserved. There's no point, as I see it, in having green belts unless they are genuinely green. It would help in a small island to avoid the wirescape, the spread of sodium lighting, the rash of badly designed supermarkets and petrol stations, and the fields full of parked cars. Farms and many government buildings and structures such as army camps and power stations may be immune from planning laws, but they should not be immune from aesthetic considerations. They, above all, should respect the land.
A Vision of Britain, a Personal View of Architecture by the Prince of Wales, is narrated by Peter Wickham, and it runs for 2 hours and 26 minutes. And our third book isn't written by King Charles III, although it does feature quite heavily. Spare by Prince Harry. It was one of the most searing images of the 20th century. Two young boys, two princes, walking behind their mother's coffin as the world watched in sorrow and horror. As Diana, Prince of Wales, was laid to rest, billions wondered what the princes must be thinking and feeling, and how their lives would play out from that point on. For Harry, this is that story at last. With its raw, unflinching honesty, Spare is a landmark publication full of insight, revelation, self-examination, and hard-won wisdom about the eternal power of love over grief.
I forgot who used the word first. Someone in the press, probably. Or one of my teachers. Whoever it took hold and circulated. I'd been cast in my role in the rolling royal melodrama. Long before I was old enough to drink a beer, legally, it became dogma. Harry? Yeah, he's the naughty one. Naughty became the tide I swam against, the headwind I flew against, the daily expectation I could never hope to shake. I didn't want to be naughty. I wanted to be noble. I wanted to be good. Work hard, grow up, and do something meaningful with my days. But every sin, every misstep, every setback triggered the same tired label and the same public condemnations, and thereby reinforced the conventional wisdom that I was innately naughty. Things might have been different if I'd achieved good grades, but I didn't, and everyone knew it. My reports were in the public domain. The whole Commonwealth was aware of my academic struggles, which were largely due to being overmatched at Eton. But no one ever discussed the other probable cause. Mummy. Study, concentration, requires an alliance with the mind. And in my teen years, I was waging all-out war with mine. I was forever fending off its darkest thoughts, its basest fears, its fondest memories. The fonder the memory, the deeper the ache. I'd found strategies for doing this, some healthy, some not, but all quite effective. And whenever they were unavailable, for instance, when I was forced to sit quietly with a book, I freaked out. Naturally, I avoided such situations. At all costs, I avoided sitting quietly with a book.
Spare is narrated by Prince Harry and runs for 15 hours, 39 minutes. For more information about these royal books and well over 30,000 other titles of fiction and non-fiction, head to rniblibrary.com or call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 and ask about Talking Books.